What you are about to hear is the story of a connection that was made between a television series and a viewer's life. Our television set sits in the corner of our living room, befriending us, educating us, inspiring us, making us laugh or cry or tear our hair out in frustration. It is a far more constant companion than most of the friends we will ever make, or even our family. The You and Who books are the story of that companionship, that connection, as told by the people who watch the programmes that make us come alive, chiefly, of course, Doctor Who. This podcast will relate some of those stories. You're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm J.R. Southall, the creator and chief editor of the series.
A Boy's Best Friend. School Reunion by Simon Hart of Bracknell, UK. First story, Destiny of the Daleks. I was never a huge fan of Sarah Jane Smith. Yes, I can hear the sharp intake of breath you just gave, but she simply wasn't a favourite of mine. When I was little, I couldn't escape her. She seemed to have been the Doctor's companion forever. Her voice was on my much-listened-to cassette of Genesis of the Daleks. Her photo seemed to be in every issue of DWM. All those iconic shots of her with a spider on her back, cowering from the Hand of Fear and exploring the Planet of Evil. Then I saw her on TV. Firstly with K-9 in their very own show, K-9 and Company. She was great. Years later, we'd realised that this was a pricklier version of Sarah. Not as much fun. But I was 5 and she was standing in for the Doctor. Then, of course, she was a little more fun in The Five Doctors, falling down small inclines in her purple Pacamac and getting scared in the Dark Tower. But as time went on and I became more aware of these things, I was rather shocked to find out she was the favourite companion. What had she done that was so special? All the silly business playing the character as if she was a 5-year-old in parts of season 13 bothered me. I found I didn't always like Liz Sladen's choices. For me, despite some fine moments, Sarah Jane Smith just wasn't the greatest companion ever. Consequently, I greeted the news of her return in School Reunion with a sigh. I was absolutely delighted that K-9 was on the way back, as he was the first thing I'd really loved about Doctor Who when I was young. My Palatoy Talking K-9 was my favourite toy ever. But I was just indifferent about the return of Sarah Jane. In many ways, I wished that they'd gone for almost any other companion. That feeling lasted as far as the staff room scene where the Doctor meets Sarah Jane again for the first time. The breathy "Hello!" with which she greets the Doctor was just lovely, and for me, this is one of the most warm and wonderful scenes in the whole of the show. The wistful note in her voice matched with the look on her face when she says, "He was a very uncommon man," gets me every time. It's absolutely perfectly played, and before I knew what was happening, I was falling in love with Sarah Jane Smith. It's a tremendous performance from Elizabeth Sladen with not a single wrong step. She gives every nuance of the script her attention, taking Sarah Jane on a journey from a lonely woman going through the motions of her life to being ready to have the adventures she should have been enjoying for years. If the last scene of the story had been the end for Sarah Jane, it would have been a magnificent end, walking off into the sunset with a new K-9 after realising that everything has its time, and finally moving on. But it wasn't the end. Who'd have thought after all the years since K-9 and Company, she'd get her own series and it'd be a hit? It seems so improbable that Liz would become a hero to kids 30 years after she'd last been one. But she did. The Sarah Jane Adventures was a magnificent achievement and Liz was at the heart of that. Older and wiser and a mentor and a mother to Luke, Maria, Clyde and Rani, she just got better and better. It was the Sarah Jane Adventures that allowed me to meet Elizabeth Sladen in 2007. Some new talking books based on the series had been launched, and to promote them, Liz was doing a signing at the Old Border store on Oxford Street in London. Although I'd met many people from Doctor Who down the years, I'd never managed to meet her, and with my newfound enthusiasm for her character, I decided I'd go along. She was absolutely charming that afternoon. The Sarah Jane Adventures had just started and she shared the genuine optimism coming from the fans that the show was going to be a huge success. She signed my old and rather battered copy of Time Frame, remarking on the Jeff Cummins portrait of her in the back pages, and the talking books, one of which I'd bought for my nephew Luke. She told me I should have brought him along to meet her after I told her how much he was enjoying the show. As I was going, I managed to say thank you for her magnificent performance in School Reunion and how I'd come to love Sarah Jane because of it. She looked genuinely delighted with that and beamed back at me as I left. We all came away saying what a truly lovely woman she was and how delightful it was that she'd taken the time to chat with us. Sadly, that was the one and only time I got to meet her. As we know, Elizabeth died from cancer a few years later, having made several seasons of the Sarah Jane Adventures and several subsequent reappearances in Doctor Who itself. The night the news came out, I watched School Reunion again. I sobbed. It was just so unfair that just as I'd come to love Sarah Jane Smith, she'd been taken from us. I was surprised at just how upset the news had made me that day. It just didn't seem possible that she'd gone. I'm so grateful that School Reunion gave me the chance to finally understand why everyone else loves Sarah Jane so much, and to give me the chance to fall in love with her too. Thank you so much, Elizabeth Sladen.
Hi, I'm J.R. Southall.
Hi, I'm Rob Irwin.
And do you want to know a funny thing, Rob?
What's a funny thing, J.R.?
Well, when I was little and first started getting into Doctor Who, my earliest proper memory was of Planet of the Daleks. And then, obviously, I was watching regularly and sort of I have vague and sometimes stronger memories of other subsequent stories. Mm-hmm. So I remember things like Death to the Daleks and Planet of the Spiders. And of course, by the time season 12 rolls around, I have stronger memories of more of those stories. And of course, by the time of Death to the Daleks and Planet of the Spiders and season 12, Sarah Jane Smith's the companion. So my memory of Planet of the Daleks is of the Third Doctor and Sarah Jane Smith running around in the jungles of Spiridon.
Really?
And it wasn't until years later when I picked up the novelisation of Planet of the Daleks, and there was this character called Joe Grant, and I was quite astonished to discover that actually Sarah Jane Smith had been the companion that followed Joe Grant, and Joe Grant had been in those stories, Green Death as well, that I could remember from earlier.
I like that. That's a good Sarah Jane story.
Yeah. Well, all of which is by way of a preamble to say that I'm going to write this up as a bit of a think piece rather than a memory piece. Well, obviously including my memories, but leading off into a bit of a think piece for the Our Sarah book.
Oh, lovely. I think that'll be lovely.
Yeah. And of course, Sarah Jane Smith was, as far as many, many Doctor Who fans are concerned, the Doctor Who companion, wasn't she?
Absolutely. And that's something I think Simon Hart just touched on in his essay, and how he didn't quite get it until much later. And that's interesting. I mean, Doctor Who is interesting in terms of that for me, insofar as I never got kinder when I was a kid. And then later on, I got kinder, so...
Yeah.
I think we all have elements of Doctor Who that maybe we don't initially get, and then later in life we come to appreciate. And for Simon, it was Sarah Jane. What a lovely thing to come to appreciate.
Yeah, and we also had a second reading from Stephen Hatcher, which was also about Elizabeth Sladen, because it was from the forthcoming Our Sarah book. So we decided this week to put two readings about Elizabeth Sladen together and make this a kind of Sarah Jane Smith special.
Awesome. The return of Stephen Hatcher.
Yeah. I mean, his previous one was excellent. So, and Simon Hart sent us a couple, but we've used this one first. And we'll use the next one, you know, in a few weeks' time, because his other one's just equally as good as this. But I just thought it was nice. It would be nice to do a little special Sarah Jane-themed episode.
Yeah, now that is lovely. And I love these stories of fans meeting people from the show and also getting a peek behind the scenes of fandom as well, particularly in Stephen's one.
Yeah. His first essay was along similar lines, of course, about how his group came together and how he came to be in charge of it. So here you've got more of a sort of off-the-side anecdote. Well, it's coming up, so people will find out. But yeah, we've just had Simon Hart, and we're just about to have Stephen Hatcher.
Exactly. Shall we have a listen?
Yeah, let's let him get on with it.
Driving Miss Sladen, Meeting Elizabeth Sladen by Stephen Hatcher. As organiser of events for the Hoover's Doctor Who group since 2001, and of the annual Hooverville convention since 2009, I've been lucky to have met, to have worked with, to have interviewed, and in a very few cases to have become friends with, some of my heroes from Doctor Who. Since Annika Wills first came to one of our Friday night events in 2003, we have, up to the time of writing, enjoyed the company of three Doctors, Peter, Colin and Sylvester, 16 companions, three series producers, and innumerable guest actors, writers and other behind-the-scenes personnel. Despite all of that, of course, there are regrets at those we missed. I'm not talking about those great stars that were long dead before we started doing these things, the Pertwees and Troughtons and so on. The biggest regrets are for those people who were alive and active on the convention circuit while we were organising our events, with whom, for whatever reason, we were not able to work, or whom we never got round to inviting. I'm thrilled that we were able to work with the delightful Barry Letts before his sad death in 2009. But of those four later heavy losses to the Doctor Who world, Nicholas Courtney and Elizabeth Sladen in 2011, and Mary Tam and Caroline John in 2012, only Mary had been a guest of the Hoovers. We'd come very close to working with Nick. In fact, he had agreed to come to one of our events, but had to pull out due to family reasons. Caroline John was just one of those who we hadn't got around to asking yet. There'd always be time, so we thought. Somehow it was different with Elizabeth. She was such a big star, especially after school reunion, the Sarah Jane adventures, and her triumphant comeback as Sarah Jane Smith. Then as now, we were a very small operation, a not-for-profit, fan-run group without much in the way of financial resources. In our early days, we were often very dependent on our guests accepting lower-than-usual fees. We've grown a bit beyond that now, and are hopefully more professional about how we go about things. Word was that Elizabeth Sladen was probably beyond our financial reach. If we'd been at the stage where we are now, with 8 successful Hooverville conventions under our belt, I think we might, at the very best, have approached her and probably managed to work with her one way or another. But as it turned out, we never did. My single biggest regret as an event organiser is not having worked with Elizabeth Sladen. I did, however, get to meet the great lady in a way that few fans do. I was quite a latecomer to conventions. My first, age 42, was Panopticon in Manchester in 2000, where Elizabeth Sladen was one of the guests. Like many convention newbies and few seasoned convention goers, I spent most of the day glued to my seat in the main hall, delighting in the opportunity to see so many wonderful guests in the flesh, including the charming Elizabeth. I cannot remember much about her panel, though, which is odd, although I do remember the Saturday evening cabaret, in which John Nathan Turner did a conjuring act, with Elizabeth as his lovely assistant. Some months later, I met Elizabeth for the first time, in the normal fan at autograph table way, at a memorabilia event at the NEC in Birmingham. There she sat, alone and unattended, at a table. I was able to have a brief conversation and reminded her about the magic act. She revealed that JNT had very much dragooned her into taking part at very short notice. In July 2006, 10th Planet Events bought the first Bad Wolf convention to Stoke-on-Trent, where I worked at the time, and which was sort of our group's home territory. I contacted and met up with organiser Derek Hambley and offered my services and those of my group members as stewards and general helpers out, an offer which Derek was kind enough to accept. My particular duties included driving guests to and from the railway station, a job with which Derek must have been satisfied, as for the next few years, I find myself trusted with this particular task at 10th Planet's Dimensions and Invasion conventions. If ever anyone reading this gets asked to do this job, then please jump at it. It's the best job at a convention. You get to meet the guest on a very much one-to-one basis and can have the sort of conversation with them that very few others are able to. On occasions, you even get asked to take guests directly to the homes or to pick them up from there, as I did for both Tom Baker and Richard Briers for separate invasion conventions. A private audience of over an hour with the great Tom in a very relaxed mood is something I'll always treasure, as is the drive across London from Chiswick to Barking with Richard, bringing Paul McGann from Newcastle Airport to Stockton-on-Tees, and meeting the ever-glamorous Honor Blackman at Chesterley Street Station among the well-dressed lads and lasses on their way to Saturday night out in Newcastle. So it was that on a dark, freezing cold Saturday night in November 2007, I was dispatched to Newcastle-upon-Tyne Station to pick up Elizabeth Sladen, who was arriving with her friend, the high-profile fan Andrew Beach, to bring them to the Dimensions Convention, which that year had moved from Stockton-on-Tees to the Holiday Inn at Washington, County Durham, or at least to a large tent on a grassy area behind the hotel adjacent to the A1M. I knew what Elizabeth Sladen looked like, unlike some people whom I'd been sent to meet, so this one was going to be easy. And I was so much looking forward to meeting Elizabeth. Possibly what struck people about Elizabeth Sladen when they met her for the first time was how extraordinarily tiny she was. It's the same with Katie Manning. Perhaps Barry Letts was under the illusion that his female stars had to be small enough actually to fit inside the back of the rather small TV sets of the day. This was a fact that on that particular day I'd forgotten. The train got in, but there was no sign of Elizabeth. I spent ages looking for her. Then I spotted Andrew Beach. But where was Elizabeth? Then it struck me that the extraordinarily tiny block of ice standing shivering next to Andrew, wrapped in a thick coat and scarf and with a woolly hat on her head, currently cursing the idiot who was keeping her waiting, was indeed the lovely Miss Sladen. I was mortified. I introduced myself and apologised in one breath and then hurried Elizabeth and Andrew into my car and off to the convention. I think she was still shivering when we arrived at the hotel, possibly even the following morning. It goes without saying that once she warmed up, Elizabeth was a great hit at the convention, delighting everyone she met, and forming a lovely double act with her young Sarah Jane Adventures co-star Yasmin Page, who I believe was making her convention debut. It was very clear that Elizabeth had very much taken Yasmin under her wing and displayed a very protective attitude towards the younger actress. Sunday afternoon came around, and with their brief visit at an end, it was time for Elizabeth, Andrew and Yasmin, together with her rather jolly mother, to return to the station to catch the train home. If Elizabeth and Yasmin hadn't been so small, it would have been rather a squash in my little Skoda. But we managed, and the journey passed uneventfully, apart from one thing. Chatting among themselves, Elizabeth and Yasmin disclosed the then-unknown news that Yasmin would be leaving the Sarah Jane Adventures during the upcoming Series 2 in order to take her GCSE exams. The words had hardly been spoken before Elizabeth realised that a secret had been revealed. I reassured her she could count on my discretion, and she relaxed again, confident, I hope, in the knowledge that I would keep the secret. We arrived at the station, I wished them a safe journey and said goodbye. Thus my encounter with this particular heroine of my teenage years came to an end. It had been brief, and perhaps not as remarkable as some of the longer times that I've spent with other stars of Doctor Who. It left me, however, knowing that I'd been entrusted with a secret, one which I did not reveal until it became public knowledge, and with the warm glow that such shared secrets bring with them. It had been a brief moment, but one that I shall treasure, which I will always set against the disappointment of never getting to work with Elizabeth at one of our events. And that article was written for a forthcoming volume in the You and Who series, Our Sarah.
You've been listening to You and Who Talking, presented by Rob Irwin with J.R. Southall. The You and Who books, from which all royalties are paid to charity, are available in print and for Kindle from watchingbooks.weebly.com.